This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Wednesday, the 13th of October. My name is Audrey Raj, and joining me as usual is
Frida Liu.
Can we find your mic, Frida Liu? You want to just switch mics? You want to switch mics, please?
Frida Liu.
There you go. That one works. Thank you for joining me, Frida.
Okay.
So on the show today, we are going to be talking about the state of employment and salaries right here in Malaysia. Now, what is the state of employment in this country? Which industries are hiring and what are candidates looking for? And also, what's the outlook on the future of Malaysian salaries, how much, let's just talk about pay and jobs today. And we are asking you this question on the show.
So who is primarily responsible for upskilling, reskilling our workforce and why? The options on Twitter is individuals, employers, government or academia. Of course, there's also a poll happening on Instagram. And let us know over WhatsApp how you feel at 018-789-8899.
Right. So, you know, we've been talking about issues of employment quite a bit lately. And I think Richard, Arvin and Christine have been covering it more heavily on their rotation than ours. But we thought we'd keep the conversation going in this field because it is an important topic to talk about, right? Now, firstly, with the acceleration of digitalization during this pandemic, the National Tech Association of Malaysia, they have revealed that the digital industry has offered almost 98,000 jobs in just the first half of this year. So the first 6 months, 98,000 jobs, and the number is expected to increase until the end of this year. The association also noted that the number of jobs in the digital industry remained high, where the listings on JobStreet platform, on JobStreet itself, breached about 135,000 in the year 2020. So 135K last year and almost 100K in just the first 6 months of this year.
However, the report by PCOM revealed that salary forecast for digital industry will only grow 0.1% this year and 2% for 2022 as a direct impact of the pandemic, including the MCO, economic uncertainties and job losses. PCOM said the salaries for entry-level and junior executive positions in the IT industry has been on a slight upward trajectory, of 2% predicted for 2021. Meanwhile, there's only a 0.2% increase in salaries for senior positions. There's also an issue of oversupply of talent in the local job market, with many university graduates working in the ICT and digital space. This could cause a brain drain as those with the relevant skills prefer to work and settle overseas, where the demand for their skills is greater and the salary offered is higher. It added that internal brain drain could cause a shortage of talent and a halt in innovation for local ICT and digital companies, resulting in a loss in competitive as these companies will no longer be able to meet market demands.
So in line with this, youth groups, of course, they want the upcoming budget on October 29th to address the unemployment rate among youths, which is at its peak, of course, because of COVID, right? Undi 18 co-founder Tharmapile said around 13 to 15% of youths are still jobless and many were forced to take up gig jobs, and other forms of temporary work to make a living. Tharma added that youth should be able to identify and learn about different changing markets to become entrepreneurs. And also another issue that that should be addressed is how employers would find the right talent and how the youth should be should upskill themselves to attract these employers.
Right. Separately, the Malaysian Youth Council presented a memorandum to the government asking for the country's minimum wage to be revised. Its president, Jufitri Johar, said in a memorandum, the salaries offered are very low compared to the cost of living, which has increased, and this has led to unemployment among the youth. Therefore, many youths are looking for employment opportunities overseas, which offer higher salaries for even dirty, dangerous and difficult, the 3D jobs, which are not well received in Malaysia. The public and private sectors should ensure that employees are paid a salary commensurate with the cost of living, while the government must provide initiatives to companies providing employment opportunities to Malaysian youths. He also urged the government to review its recruitment policy on foreign workers by encouraging more locals to take up 3D jobs to address the unemployment among youths.
Now, another factor for youth unemployment is the mismatch between industry needs and the graduates' fields of study. I mean, how many times have you spoken about how your degree really doesn't matter? You're just going to going to jump into any industry anyway, you know, to get a job. And it was reported almost 60% of degree holders and higher than a degree holders are still unemployed a year after graduation because of this mismatch. Now, Jofitri suggested that higher learning institutions need to conduct market research on the programs of study offered to find outfits relevant to the industry needs and introduce more skills in their courses instead of focusing on theory. He also pointed out that most youth and students lack real-world knowledge for business networking. You know, so Jofitri hopes that a body can be set up solely to train youth on business network development.
And although the rapid changes in technology may have provided many opportunities, they're still underutilized by youths. Therefore, Jofitri said Budget 2022 should develop a youth development hub, which can be monitored digitally and modeled after social enterprises, and suggested data should be collected from agencies directly involved in entrepreneurship to observe the trends among the youths so more economic opportunities can be created.
Now, there's so much to unpack from what we just covered,
right,
Frida? I mean, like, starting off with the kind of courses that are, you know, just the most recent thing that we covered, the kind of courses that are provided by universities and how they actually apply to these graduates when they go out into the workforce,
yeah,
right? You know, because I know how, I mean, like, this is something that Malik has pointed out many times whenever we have a graduate that comes in and does an internship with us from the communications field, and, you know, and then they say, oh, you know, I just got my degree in mass communication. And then, is it still called mass communication?
Right.
You know, it's so much has changed in the media world and in communication itself that shouldn't it be called something else, you know?
Right.
And what are you still studying? Is it still the same old syllabus? And is that really... You see how new media has taken over in our line, in our industry, right? And I bet it's the same in every other industry. There's going to be so many things that you need to do to digitally upskill in your area. So are the universities doing enough to kind of adapt to the new way of working,
right? And, you know, it's such a disconnect, right? Because I'm looking at JobStreet. In the digital industry space, there are 135,000 jobs, right?
Last year.
And yet... Yeah. We have such high unemployment among graduates, right? So what is being churned out? You know, like as you're saying, so there's such a, there's not that there's lack of jobs, right? And then after that, so those that are employed as well, you're not keeping them because you're not paying them well enough.
So the money is an issue. Availability, I guess job availability is not. But yeah, there seems to be so many issues. Now, the other thing that I wanted to come back to was the whole 3D jobs.
Dirty, dangerous, and...
What's the other D?
The D, difficult.
Yes, difficult jobs. Now, you know what the Malaysian Youth Council said was that these are not very well received in Malaysia. I think we all know that that is true. And that's why we really rely on foreign workers to come into this space. But you look at some of the other countries, and I'm just thinking about places like Australia.
Germany.
Or like, you know, like...
Germany,
so many countries in Europe where those who do these jobs are really paid quite well, that they take... so much pride in their work, you know. It may be a dirty or a dangerous or difficult job, but if you're being paid well enough to perform your duties, you take pride in your work as well.
Right. And we have to take out those words, huh?
Yes, yes.
It should be dirty. I mean, it may be challenging, and that's because there's a skill that they know that I don't know,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so we've also got to take out the words, and that's also another issue which I always feel like, you know, the TVET jobs, right?
Yes.
This is so important for our country, right? And we need all these, you know, participants to make the wheel turn. Right. If you're so dependent on foreign labor on one side, and so that's a whole issue altogether, right?
So many pain points here, but you know what we want to talk to you about is who do you think is primarily responsible for upskilling or reskilling our workforce, and why? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also chime in on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back after this quick break, we'll hear from Brian Sim, country head and managing director of Persa Kelly Malaysia, for more information on the salary and employment outlook of Malaysia. All that and more happening after Florence and the Machine with Addicted to Love. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Benchmark for managers, BFM 89.9.
And we're back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about jobs and pay.
Mm. Who is probably responsible for upskilling and reskilling our workforce and why? The Twitter poll says employers at 42.3%, individuals at 32.9%, the government at 17.4%, and academia at 7.4%.
Over on Instagram, it's an open-ended question, and we have some comments to get through. Let's just pick two here. Whatsoever says individual themselves, and PDX3156 says top down from the government with incentives given to industries in order to act on this, right? You have about 39 minutes to get in touch with us. The numbers once again, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. But right now we have on the line, waiting very patiently, Brian Sim, country head and managing director of Persil Kelly Malaysia. And they have recently released the Persil Kelly 2021-2022 Malaysia Salary and Employment Outlook. So we thought we'd speak to Brian about that. Brian, thank you for joining us. Now, first up, the report that you guys just did, you know, what did that reveal about the overall sentiment on the current situation of Malaysian employment?
Post-pandemic, especially when the employers and a lot of organizations in every industry or market are exploring on adopting machines, digitalization. So this refers to some skill set that a company will be focusing when they hire or look at hiring a talent as well. So what we are forecasting is the trend or the moving trend in the market moving forward. Organization will focus hiring talent with the right skill, with the relevant skill, aligning to the machines or technology or digitalization platform that the organization will partake in months to come or year to come. So I think talking about the second point that we will forecast the market to be focusing on is in the digitalization and technology platform. Where in fact started from last year, the pandemic, right, which happened March 2020. So we have started to see a lot of companies trying to embark and explore in terms of adopting the suitable technology, digitalization, in order for the company to continue to move on and stay productive in the market that they are servicing. So digitalization will continue to be the focus on every industry's players within the industry. Last but not least, I think besides focusing on the skill set, digitalization transformation, company will also focus on mentality versus capability. Where when come to hiring a talent, company will also focus on hiring the talent with right mentality, the right personality traits alongside with the capability, so that these talents that they will be engaging will be able to partner and work with the company to move forward.
Right. Now, at the moment, how does Malaysia compare to other countries in terms of the balance between the average Malaysian salary and cost of living?
Year on year, we have seen an incremental of about 100 ringgit to 200 ringgit of minimum wages. To now, the minimum wages of Malaysia has reached 1,200 ringgit. So we are forecasting that to be improvised in years to come. In terms of cost of living, according to the research from iPrice, so our cost of living per individual, especially in a city area like Kuala Lumpur, is at about 3,300 ringgit. So I think compared to some other countries or in Southeast Asia, we're still considered as one of the cheapest in terms of lifestyle expenditure, which is still good. That also means that a lot of things with 3,300 ringgit earning, you're still able to manage the expenses from the income. Monthly.
Yeah.
So, but I think moving forward, what we would like to see is how government is going to again improvise from the perspective of minimum wages of the Malaysian. So that we will reach a stage where Malaysian, especially the B40 group, they are able to earn a sufficient income to sustain their living, especially those in the city.
Yeah,
right. Especially for fresh graduates, what's the current employability environment like?
In 2020, based on the data provided by the Statistics Department, the unemployment rate of fresh graduate is hovering around 4.4%. So that's about 200 job seeker from the category of fresh graduate who are constantly looking for a job. So as compared to year before refers to 2019, this unemployment rate amongst the fresh graduate has increased. Now, obviously, it's due to the pandemic where the market hiring trend is has slowed down a lot. That has also resulted into the increase of, unemployment rate of the young talent. But importantly, I think, especially for the young talent, fresh graduate, moving forward, it's important for them to understand, especially on the industry that they would they will be venturing in, to understand what's the industry's moving trend like, especially from the perspective of digitalization, the kind of technology that that particular industry or market will be adopting in months to come or years to come, so that they themselves can studies and also participate in the training program which is available in the market to ensure that they upskill themselves to stay relevant with the job that they will be applying. But more importantly, besides building up your capability, besides building up your skill set, it's important for fresh graduate to have the right mindset. When I say right mindset, means these are definitely positive mindset. The mindset that will be able to or enable them to work with the employer or their upcoming employer to move forward. So these are the request or requirement that most of the employers in the market will be looking at in hiring a talent, including fresh graduate moving forward, where they will focus more on mentality versus capability.
Right, right. And now, Brian, you know, earlier you said that the businesses were just not in the best position to hire, right, because of COVID and all. So now for Malaysian SMEs, are they in a better position to hire as the pandemic restrictions, you know, have started to open up and to loosen?
Now, during the pandemic, what we understand is a lot of SMEs has got impacted greatly by this pandemic. We have seen a lot of SMEs who were not able to sustain or retain their business, especially in the years or first half of 2020 or second half of 2020, right? So obviously the damage that this pandemic has done to SMEs in particular is great. So hence, for them to recover from this pandemic, it will not take a short period of time or overnight for them to see immediate result or immediate return in their business. I foresee that companies, particularly SMEs, will need another 3 to 6 more months or minimum 6 months after the situation or restriction started to loosen up for them to rebuild back their business profitability before we start seeing SMEs hire again aggressively after that.
Right. Brian, how can companies begin to navigate the world of competitive salaries?
From company perspective, I would say that especially during this pandemic and after this pandemic, companies will need to really do a lot of research in understanding the moving trend of their market, of their industry, in order for them to continue to stay relevant and exceed the moving trend of their industry or within their industry. So I think as all of us are aware that a lot of companies are moving into digitalization and technology adaptation. But bear in mind that before you explore on digitalizations of your companies or moving your company into this digitalization platform, your company will need to understand what exactly is the moving trend in your industry. So once you understand the moving trend in your industry and apply the relevant digitalizations towards your company, then I would say that will elevate the competitiveness of your companies locally. Now, obviously, if you want to compete within the global market or the world market, I think you can leverage on a lot of platform which government would have prepared to bring your company, your products towards overseas to increase your company's revenue and productivity from that manner. But for me, locally, I think first, let's start to look at the competitiveness locally first, where one of the way is to ensure that you are relevant or you stay relevant to the market trend and adopt the relevant digitalization tool into your company to ensure that your company catch up with the pace alongside with this pandemic, not only catching up, but I'm sure every company would like to exceed the moving trend of the industry for you to continue to stay competitive in terms of this in the market. So, of course, once the company stays in the relevant moving trend platform, obviously this will give your company an upper hand to review on the grading, the job grading and the salary grading within your organization, which will eventually benefit the talent, employees, who will be engaged by you as well. Because if your companies have the privilege to review and readjust the salary to hire, eventually you will be able to attract talents towards joining your company.
All right. Brian, what industries or verticals in Malaysia would you say are providing the best or most lucrative salaries or opportunities at the moment, and how are they able to do so?
Over the past 1 to 2 years, we have seen certain industry which continue to do well or have excelled alongside with this pandemic and, of course, benefited from the digitalization transition. Industries such as banking and certain industry within retail. Now, obviously, we are no longer speaking about the conventional way on running your business. Like, for instance, banking. We have seen bankers started to move from conventional walk-in transactional business with their clients to online. So hence, this has brought a lot of improvement in terms of market movement in the area of fintech, where we have seen an incremental demand in fintech. And fintech is definitely one of the better paying industry for now, due to the involvement in terms of the industry, and as well as the talent who are working within the fintech industry, where all these talents that fintech industry hire, talent would have been upskilled from their perspective to stay relevant, aligned with this moving trend of the industry. I spoke about retail earlier as well. So retail as well, we've seen a lot of retail company moving or transitioning their business model to online. In fact, we've seen some companies reported that their revenue increases after they have moved their business to online. Then this has also given that privilege to that particular industry or companies within the retail industry to review and readjust their salary grading in view of attracting more talents from there.
Right. Brian, please stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break now for some messages. But when we come back, we talk to Brian about how companies can help solve the issue of not just unemployment, but misemployment here in Malaysia. And also, you know, since we're talking about salaries, how will the whole hybrid work model affect employees' salary moving forward? All that and more happening on Enterprise Biz Bite. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Big Front Man, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the line with us right now, we have Brian Sim, Country Head and Managing Director of Purser Kelly Malaysia. We are talking about the state of employment and salaries here. And we're also asking you this question.
Who is primarily responsible for upskilling and reskilling our workforce and why? Do take part in the poll that's happening on Twitter and Instagram. That's at BFM Radio. On Twitter, it's individuals, employers, government, academia, take your pick. And of course, you can chat with us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
So Brian is joining us because Purser Kelly recently released their 2021-2022 Malaysia Salary and Employment Outlook Report. So, you know, we've just been chatting with him on how SMEs are hiring, you know, the state of employment in the country as well. Brian, thank you for staying on the line. Now, how can companies help to resolve the issue of not just unemployment, but also misemployment here in the country?
I think this is a very good question. I think the restriction is being loosened up, a lot of companies might jump into the hiring mode where they will start grabbing talents all over the market to try to attract the best talents to work with their companies. But from my opinion, I think it's important for the organization to redefine on your company business plan or your company moving direction, for you to be super crystal clear about what's the moving directions of your organization alongside with the moving trend of the industry, so that you have a clear picture on what are the platform that your company will partake in years to come. So once you understand what's your company objective, business objective, strategy, and redefine, of course, your company job scopes, the scope of work of each role, to ensure that each of the role will continue to stay relevant alongside with your company objective, then now only I think a company should focus on talent, on which type of talent that you would like to engage with this new or evolvement of the new strategy that you are applying moving forward. So by doing so, whoever talent that you're going to hire in upcoming months or years, at least the skill set will not be mismatched. And the skill set of the talent that you will be hiring will continue to stay relevant with the moving trend of your organization. So hence, it's important, I think, for every organization in every industry to start reviewing your business model, your business objective, your business direction for now, if you have not done so, before you rush into the hiring. If you don't have a clear direction, potentially your company will end up into the issue of misemployment, where you will get into the dilemma or the situation of engaging a talent, a good talent, which might not be able to cope up with the company's direction that you will be setting forward.
Right. You know, companies are also moving more towards hiring talent based on technical and, you know, soft skills, sharp skills, less on purely academic qualifications. What does this imply for the future of hiring qualifications?
From the perspective of graduate, how can they actually make them more employable in the market is by, again, putting a lot of studies about the industry that they are exploring, to understand what are the moving trend or the trend of the industry, and also to understand the job scope within the market that they will be applying the job for. So I think it's important for them to know what's the expectation And this is one of the reasons why I think a lot of employers mentioned that academic qualification will no longer be, will be less important. Mm. I don't think they mean that. What they mean is the talent that comes alongside with this academic qualification background, whether do they know, how much do they know my industry, how much do they know their role, and eventually how much they can add value to my organization. So as far as the young talents or talents you can improve in this area, you will be as competitive as any other talent out there in the market.
Right. Sounds like a lot. But, you know, like I mentioned before the break, Brian, I want to talk about hybrid work and how that affects salary. So, you know, as hybrid work becomes more popular or maybe even the standard way of how we work in the future, should this or will this affect an employee's potential salary? And if so, how? And if not, then why not? Why not impact?
So I think, again, from employer perspective, after this pandemic, besides reviewing what's the work model that you would like to apply within your organization moving forward, more importantly, I think it's now employer must also have the right mindset to think forward on how can you support your employees to continue or better off in terms of performing their job so that they can produce more and be more productive towards your organization. Now, once you identify the platform towards supporting your employees to become more productive, such as upskilling by supporting your employees to upskill or reskill, and by upskilling and reskilling will help them to be more productive, then I think you will have a better idea in terms of the salary grading within your organization on whether is there a need for you to review the salary grading from this perspective. Now, if a hybrid work model will continue to be a model that you will apply moving forward within your organization, you may also start reviewing the whole salary or common band package within your organization. When I say review, like for instance, if you know employees who are working from home will be required to travel less from home to office, so hence, perhaps I will review on their traveling allowance. But while reviewing on the traveling allowance, I hope that company can also review on other things that will benefit or will motivate your employees in return. Because, for instance, working from home will require the employees to continue to have a better network at home to support them to work effectively and productively at home. So if a company would like to review on the traveling allowance of your employee, I think it's also good to review the common man package to see what are the things that you may top up, what are the things that you might want to decrease or bring down, so that eventually this work model will continue to be a productive model for both employer and employee. Even from the salary or common band perspective, it will be a win-win for both employer and employees.
Right. Right. Thank you for that, Brian. That was Brian Sim, Country Head and Managing Director of Persil Kelly Malaysia. Now, on the show today, we are talking about the state of employment and salaries in the country. And we are asking you, who is primarily responsible for upskilling or reskilling our workforce and why? Frida, shall we do the messages first or should we wrap up the poll?
We should do up the poll results. And, you know, I think like just before we get there, it's such a multi-layered thing, right?
Because
we're talking about how there are jobs and then they are unemployed, so there seems to be a mismatch there. So who, you know, and I think it is the fact that we need to be upskilled, reskilled.
So the other thing is, you know, earlier on in the show we were talking about how you know, universities need to prepare graduates for the workforce, but also, you know, I think a really valid point Brian mentioned earlier about how organizations, companies, businesses, you also need to redefine your job scope so that, you know, the students understand exactly what they're getting themselves into if they can perform those jobs, you know, and if they have the skills necessary, or maybe they'll go out there and they will, pick up those skills, you know, take up the courses necessary in order to fulfill the job scope. So KPIs really need to be clearly defined. Job descriptions need to be updated.
Yes.
Okay. And this also needs to be in public view so that graduates understand what they're getting into.
I mean, just looking here, like what we had to do when we first started, when I first started this job, right, was just getting a radio, but now you got to do
so
many things. You could do webinars, you could do all that, which was not an initial job scope, right?
And so as that job evolves,
you need the training too, because not everybody can be, you know, like I'm trained for radio, not everybody can be as versatile in other things. So you got to make sure that everybody is trained in that area as well. So anyway, who's primarily responsible for upskilling, reskilling a workforce? Employers, 42.1%, individuals at 34.1%, government at 17.1%, and academia at 6.7%.
Right. And let's go to WhatsApp first
Maggie Bess, hi. She said, all self-respected employer and employee learned that when I was a young starry-eyed exec from a colleague who had the foresight to prepare herself for the market, her advice was, if you wait, you might just miss the boat. She was absolutely right. If one is proactive and positive, then all those around us also benefit. As parents, we look out and plan for our children. As supervisors, we're encouraging our teammates to improve themselves and or send them out for training. Look at what the casual conversation of my colleague did for me.
Now, we've got one here from Michael on Twitter who says, government should be the first stepping stone, making policy change and adoption slowly. It be a moving trend and will change all the business according to base policy setup. Also, every year, review the policy. If need any upgrades and changes, do it yearly due to the dynamic changes that we've seen recently.
Right. Here from JF, he said, you have to start from education, the primary and core. It'll take 2 to 3 generations to change the current mindset. Take policy. Politics and religious elements away from education and start teaching common sense and responsibility. From Lauren Larison, he said, all of the above. Individuals need to accept the change. Employers need to make use of the existing task force. Government needs to support and incentivize. Mm-hmm. Education needs a drastic upgrade.
Another one here from Driscus, who says because they have the R&D papers and articles based on previous and current stats. So I'm thinking Driscus is talking about either academia or government, right? Or a combination, yeah. And one last one here.
He says, Sharma Kusa says, primarily responsibility is on the individual, but if there's no opportunity to reskill, upskill, is the individual still at fault? Also, reskill, upskill need money and time, and is that... is the reskill upskill competitive against someone actually has a degree in that field or other qualifications, I guess? Yeah.
Wow. Some valid questions there. You know, and we will try to keep the conversation on this going as well, because I know, you know, it concerns all of us, right? But thank you so much for participating in the show today. Of course, we were talking about the state of employment and salaries right here in Malaysia. If you missed out on any part of this show, go look for the podcast on our website, bfm.my. You can also find our podcast on the BFM app. Frida and myself will be back again same time tomorrow for more chat on Enterprise Biz Bytes. But stay tuned after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. It's the Breakfast Grill replay. And this morning, our friends in the Morning Run spoke to Charles Frump, the managing director of Volvo Cars Malaysia. So stay tuned for that happening after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. But taking us out of the show now, we have a little bit of Bryan Adams with Summer of 69. See you again tomorrow on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.